Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are studying the Gospel according to Luke. We are in chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. We're going to read through verse 26. Luke 5, beginning in verse 12. This is God's Word. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus' ministry of compassion reveals who he is. Jesus' ministry of compassion reveals who he is. That's what we're going to be looking at in these two stories. First of all, Jesus encounters a man who's covered with leprosy. Now, if you had leprosy, you were shut out from not just going out and mixing and mingling with people in general. You couldn't even live at home. You couldn't live with your family. You couldn't work a regular job. You were an untouchable. You were a person that nobody was allowed to have anything to do with, because this was a contagious condition. And God in the Old Testament had laid out the parameters in order to keep this from spreading. There were rules that had to be followed. And the priests didn't just arbitrate as far as religious matters, but they also were the arbiters regarding health matters. If you wanted to be declared well, you had to go to the priest and be examined. And the priest would decide whether or not all the evidence of leprosy was gone. And that didn't happen often. There were sacrifices to be offered, offerings to be made. You were to give thanks to God because obviously this is something God had done and shown mercy to you. But I mean, basically, if you got leprosy, you didn't get well. It was a horrible condition. Horrible. And the last thing you would want to do is when you came close to people, if they didn't know, couldn't tell that you had leprosy, you had to call out, unclean, unclean, so that they would stay back and not get too close. If you think COVID's tough, this was far worse. This was far worse. So Jesus encounters this man, and Jesus hears him say, with his face to the ground, begging him, Lord, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That's faith. That's humility. That's desperation. But he believed Jesus could heal. He'd heard the stories of other people being healed of all kinds of things that were not curable. The blind, the lame. And this leper thought, what he's done for others, he can do for me. And so he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And so Jesus not only healed him, Jesus reached out and touched the man and said, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. This was not something where, I feel better. No, you could see. But in order for you to be able to get back around other people, it had to be verified by the priest. Jesus says, having healed this man, don't tell anyone. That's going to be hard. Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. But man, the word about what had happened spread all over the place. What had happened demanded an explanation. People wanted to know. The word spread, the news spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. If you look back in chapter 4, there's a reference to this in verse 42. And we're going to see it again over in chapter 6. Jesus sometimes spending all night in prayer. Back in chapter 4, he got up early in the morning to go and pray, seeking to be alone with his Father. Because the basis of Jesus' authority was he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. So, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Not just these three examples. This was a pattern in his life. If that was important for Jesus, who is God incarnate, how important is it for us to spend time alone with God? To spend time in prayer? Jesus did. We must as well.
In Psalm 145, we read, one generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. God is pleased when we share his love with the future generations. One meaningful way you can share Yahweh to the next generation is by leaving a gift in your will to Ware's Valley Ranch. The ranch is home and school to children from all over the country who need a safe haven. Please pray about how you might help support these kids and consider joining Legacy 145. Legacy 145 is a growing group of people. People who see this as a meaningful way to thank God for all they have been blessed with. You can learn more about it by going to wvr.org and click on the link for Legacy 145. Again, find the link for Legacy 145 on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus.
Well, one day, verse 17, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who'd come from every village in Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. They were there because they wanted to learn all they could. No, they were there because they'd heard about miracles happening and someone who's teaching with authority, not the way they teach. And so they come over and over and over again to find fault. They're looking for something to criticize. I know what this spirit is like because I used to live there. I made myself feel righteous and smart by being able to find what was wrong with this person's teaching and this person's teaching and this person's teaching. And I studied hard, man. I was a good student. I knew the scriptures. And I would hear hints of something awry in this person's teaching or that person's teaching. And I was just out of college, working at a children's home and school in Mississippi. And when the preacher came, a visiting preacher came to campus, I was sitting there trying to dissect him and his message. And I couldn't find anything wrong, and it was kind of bothering me. Because again, I would reassure myself of how great I was by being able to find the flaws in others. That, by the way, is a satanic mindset. And God asked me a question. And the question was, when did you stop learning? And I mean, it cut me to the heart. Because I realized I wasn't listening to this older, wiser, godly expositor of the word, seeking to know God better, seeking to be fed, seeking to grow. I was looking for some reassurance that, yeah, he may have those degrees and all that experience and these accomplishments, but I'm the guy who's going to figure out where he's off, because everybody's bound to be off somewhere, except me, of course. I'm perfect. Now, if you'd asked me, do you think you're perfect and you know everything? I would have said, no, of course not. But I was constantly on the prowl for error. Should we be alert to the fact that false teachers are going to come along and lead people astray? Yes. Should we know God's word so that we can always check and see, is this person consistent with the word? Yes. But if you're hoping to find something you can criticize, you're sick. And speaking as a recovering Pharisee, I can tell you, these guys, as we will see repeatedly in the Gospels, these guys came to test, to find fault, and we see it even in this story. They're there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And people are being healed. And it's amazing. But four men brought their friend who was paralyzed. They brought him on a mat, hoping to get him to Jesus so that Jesus would heal him. And they couldn't get in. The crowd was so thick that they couldn't get through the crowd. And so they went up on the roof. They were determined to bring their friend to Jesus. That's love. They were willing to do what it takes. Imagine trying to lift a guy who's paralyzed on a stretcher up onto the roof. That's a logistical challenge. But they did it. And they went to the place over where Jesus was teaching and began removing the roof. They took up the tiles from the roof and lowered this man down right in front of Jesus. Talk about an interruption. And everybody who can see him can tell what's wrong with him. When a person is, as it's described here, a paralytic, when a person is paralyzed, their limbs atrophy. That means the muscles shrink up. If you don't use your muscles, they will get smaller. This guy, you could look and see, oh, he's a paralytic. That's why he's on the mat. That's why he looks that way. They brought him to Jesus hoping that he'd be healed. That's what it says. They brought him to lay him before Jesus. And Jesus, seeing their faith, please note that, doesn't necessarily exclude the man, but it definitely wasn't just the man's faith that Jesus saw. Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the man, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, this is blasphemy. Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? For who can forgive sins but God alone? So the Pharisees are asking an important question. In fact, their question is really at the heart of this story. Who is this fellow? Only God can forgive sins. And that's true. But the answer to the question, who is this fellow, is he's God. That's the point. They thought he was blaspheming. He would have been had it not been for the fact that he is who he is. He's the eternal Word of God. So, Jesus knew what they were thinking. And so they're thinking it to themselves, and Jesus says to them, why are you thinking this? Describes what they're thinking. How do you know that? Jesus knows what you're thinking. Jesus knows exactly what you're thinking. Don't ever think you can hide something from him. The good news is that Jesus is so compassionate that he would reach out and touch a man who had leprosy and say, be clean. Yes, Jesus knows everything about us, but he didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. So Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? Now, what does that mean? Well, it means if I say your sins are forgiven, nobody can look and tell. You know, I don't know. If I were to say to you, it has been revealed to me that in 153 years, a man is going to arise from here in Tennessee who will become the President of the United States. You have no way of knowing if that's going to happen. You can think, well, that's weird. What does that have to do with me? But the point is, you can't check it out. Understand? Jesus says, if I say your sins are forgiven, you can believe it or not believe it, but you can't tell whether or not it's true. Which is easier, therefore, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? And then he says this, and this is the key to the passage. Verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he turns to the man and he says, I say to you, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Whoa. And what happened? The man was instantly, totally healed. And he got up and he took his mat and he left praising God. And the people were amazed. But what else do we learn from that? What do you want from God? If God were to come to you and say, what would you like me to do for you? The leper says, I want you to make me clean. The blind man says, I want to be able to see. The lame man says, I want to be able to walk. But do you know what's so much more important? Friend, your sins are forgiven. You know what's going to happen to the blind man who gets his sight? He's going to die eventually. The lame man who's healed and able to walk, he's going to die eventually. The man with leprosy who is cleansed of leprosy, what's going to happen to him? He's going to die eventually. All the things that to us seem so important, I really want this, I really want this. Oh God, if you would only do this, if I could just get this job, if I could just pass this course, if I could just make the honor roll, if whatever it is, oh, if I could only get that girl to go out with me, if I could only get that guy to notice me, if I could only get my parents to stop arguing, whatever it is that's so important, can't compare to being reconciled to God, having your sins forgiven, knowing that Jesus would die for you to take away your sins. That is the most important thing because it's going to determine where you spend forever. Everything else goes away. But your relationship with God is forever. And so Jesus had already given that paralyzed man something so much better than a physical healing. But to the religious, it was blasphemy. And to the others, it was a disappointment. It was a letdown. They didn't bring their friend to Jesus hoping he'd be forgiven. They brought him hoping he'd be healed. They wanted him healed. They went up on the roof and lowered him down so that he'd be healed. And Jesus says, you're forgiven? What a disappointment. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is the greatest miracle? If you saw somebody who you knew, you'd known them for years and they were blind and they got their sight back, wouldn't you think that is the most amazing thing I've ever seen? Wouldn't you say that I've never even heard of somebody who saw something like that? That's the kind of thing you read about in the Bible. Okay? Wow. I've heard missionaries talk about things like that happening overseas, but I've never seen it happen here. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be thrilling? Let me tell you, if you know Jesus, you have already experienced a greater miracle. Because your sins have been forgiven. And that's going to last forever. That makes all the difference in where you're going to spend eternity. Do you know Jesus? Have you received his forgiveness? Have you believed his promise? He died so that you could live. He conquered death so that you don't have to be afraid anymore. All the other stuff that we get so juiced about that's so important, oh God, please. It's all temporary. Jesus said, the reason I'm going to heal this guy is so that you'll know who I am. You know who he is? Jesus' ministry of compassion, healing the sick, was in order to reveal who he is. Because you and I need to know who he is. And we need to trust him. We need to trust him no matter what.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.